Wake up, Denver.
How are you, Bob?
Great, little Doobie Brothers here.
This is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. That's Bob Belts. We're glad you tuned in. It's a Christian program that starts every week with some of the greatest music you've ever heard.
You know, we actually think Jesus is a lot more than just all right, but kind of a fun song for the Doobies.
They'd become Christians at this time.
I don't believe so.
But they like the way these words fit.
Yeah.
So this program is about the fact that Jesus is more than just all right. And Bob and I like to think of ourselves as pretty much worthless, no counts, except for the fact somewhere along the way, Christ got a hold of us and gave our lives meaning and purpose, and we try to present the truth from the Bible in simple ways that we think are accurate, truthful, and hopefully inspiring to you all. And one of the ways we do it is to introduce you to different guests that bless you as you get to know them and hear what they're doing with their lives. So it's been amazing, Bob, all these months now, years, how many different guests we get to meet.
All doing great stuff, too. Isn't it exciting? I mean, it's amazing what, you know, when you look at the big picture of what all of these guys together are accomplishing in the city, and David is no exception to that, for sure.
The man with two first names, David Warren. Welcome to the show, David.
Oh, it's good to be here. Thank you.
For a guy named Dudley, what does he have to, you know,
don't
give
be
anybody
telling
grief
about,
that,
by the way. My nickname is Bo. My real name is Dudley. And you don't be calling me Dudley.
I wouldn't have said that on the radio, by the way. But
Jimmy Dudley was the broadcaster for the Cleveland Indians in the 40s when my dad played for the Indians. So I think the boys were a little lit up one night after a game, and he picked the name Dudley for me. And I kept saying, why don't you name me Jimmy? Your friend would have been happy, and I'd have been a lot happier. Anyway, David Warren, where are you from?
Well, I'm from Denver right now, but originally from Ohio. So you mentioned the Cleveland Indians. I'm from South Ohio, so a little closer to the Cincinnati Reds there. That was my team growing up.
Really? Who were some of the players then?
Oh, Eric Davis, and of course Pete Rose was a little bit. He was managing at that time, player manager, when he broke the record there. That was pretty cool.
And you're kind of a big guy. Were you a ball player?
Not really. Like most kids, like to play around with a lot, but for the most part, just having fun with it.
So what was it like around your home? Good atmosphere to grow up in?
Yeah, it was. I grew up in a small town in Ohio, Cedarville. Most people haven't heard of it. And Christian home, Christian family, went to, you know, good Baptist home. Didn't do all the things that Baptists weren't supposed to do at that time. And so knew about the Lord, but you know, grace was something that I had to kind of gradually get my hands around and my head around throughout my life, and God had to work in me what grace really was, because I think I started out with even though I knew Jesus, I didn't really understand grace.
So you had a sign out in the street in front of your Baptist church that said, "Don't drink, don't chew, and don't date girls that do."
The sign wasn't there, but I think everyone could read it.
So what is that about mankind, Bob, that wants, instead of grace, which is unmerited favor, that wants a list of, okay, here's how you do it, 1 through 10?
Incurably religious is my own take on the deal, that, you know, somehow we know something's wrong, and we, you know, have this tendency, I think, to try and do something, you know, to resolve the problem or just give up on it. And, you know, I think you look, and again, grace, we really should define this for our listeners a little bit, because as we've said on previous shows, every other, quote, religion, which, you know, I would define as man's attempt to reach God, and I don't even think Christianity in its pure essence biblically is a religion. It's a relationship, and it's God's attempt to reach man. It's a huge difference. And so religion is all about things that we do and kind of trying to earn, you know, brownie points with God. And grace, you know, that David just talked about, grace is a gift. It's actually the word in the original language. Charis means a gift. And so it's something that is offered to us, that Christ accomplished what we never could, and God offers a relationship with him based on what Christ did instead of what we do. And again, I think what, you know, even if you grow up in a religious context, oftentimes it's hard to kind of get over the hurdle of, you know, this isn't about what I do. And yet, you know, we want to respond. So it's, we, you know, instead of trying to earn brownie points, we do things and we want to please God, and we try and love people out of a response to what's already been done for us rather than trying to earn it.
And thank goodness it's set up that way, because our friend Soren Kierkegaard said, even if we drafted our own religion A, I believe he calls it, we could never live up to it, could we?
Yeah, it's true. And again, you know, you look at particularly kind of the law of the Old Testament and how it was, you know, turned into, and never, I don't think, really intended to be, but turned into something where people became self-righteous because they thought they kept it, when the reality is that Jesus came along and, you know, and would say things like, well, you know, you might not have physically committed adultery, but the spirit of the deal is even if you look at a woman, you know, lustfully, you've committed it in your heart, and suddenly everybody's guilty, you know, that none of us have kept the law. And it was like, I think that in the book of Galatians, Paul says that it was like the law was intended to be a child guide, is sort of the pedagogue, what the word means, someone that would lead a child to school, and that the law was to lead us to a recognition that we can't keep it, and that we do need, you know, something that we can't do. And then we understand, you know, that Christ has done for us what we can't do, and that's grace.
If you want to hear more, seriously, from Bob Belts, 10 o'clock today, Highline Community Church, just north of the corner of Arapahoe and University there, across the parking lot from the Goodson Rec Center. So when did this all start making sense to you, David?
Well, I think as I got into college, I started to, I mean, God brought some friends into my life that were pushing the envelope of different things, you know, well, does the Bible really say this? Or does the Bible really say that? And making me think, you know, challenging me to think outside the box of kind of what I had grown up in, and that kind of that strict theological perspective I had grown up in. And so it was, God was starting to open the doors. At the same time, he was sending me down to the inner city of Cincinnati. We would, as college students, we went downtown Cincinnati, Fountain Square down there. We were about an hour outside of Cincinnati, and God started introducing me to homeless people, introducing me to kids on the street, introducing me to all kinds of people down there, just from all walks of life. And being from a small town in the middle of cornfields, that was a new experience, and it was great. And I fell in love with the city and fell in love with the people down there, and realized that, you know, we needed to develop some different kind of churches for these people, because most of these people coming into, you know, the type of church that I grew up in, that just wasn't going to work for them. People would take one look at them and probably make a judgment of them based on what they were wearing and what they looked like or what they smelled like. And so, you know, without even hearing the message, they would probably walk out the door and think, tried that and it didn't work for me. And so God gave me a lifelong mission to start churches that were for people of the city, people that had serious problems, people that didn't fit in traditional places. And so that's actually what I'm doing here in Denver with Open Door Fellowship and Open Door Ministries. But when I got in my own personal life, God continued to kind of shape that grace message in me too. And when I first came to Open Door, God revealed some stuff in me, and he was basically saying to me, you're no better than any of these other folks here. You're, and you've been trying to do the right things all your life, but deep in your heart, there's this sin, there's this blackness, this wickedness inside of you that can only be taken care of by my forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you've been forgiven, but sometimes you need to understand the depth of what I've forgiven mm-hmm. in you, because if you think that I just forgave you for some small concerns, then you're not going to really appreciate it. And I think of that story in the Bible, it hits me so hard, where Jesus was over at a Pharisee's house for dinner, and there was a prostitute that came in and was washing his feet. And the Pharisee thought to himself, if Jesus knew who this lady was, if he was really a prophet, he would know who this lady is, and he would not allow her to wash his feet like that. And Jesus, of course, did know the lady. He did know what the guy was thinking, too. And he asked the Pharisee, he said, who do you think will love me more, the one who is forgiven much or the one who's forgiven little? And the Pharisee said, the one who's been forgiven much, and he was right. And so God's been teaching me that I've been forgiven much, and I need every bit as much of grace as anybody else out there, no matter what they've been through in their life. And it's been good. I needed that. I keep learning that even to this day.
Guy's a preacher, isn't he?
He is. And
darn good one.
I think that just thinking about the church world, so many of us do come out of situations where our life was a wreck, or it was blatantly obvious that we were in desperate need of something, and when we come to understand who Jesus is and what he's done and what he offers us, we come empty-handed. It's the only way to come, and yet somehow this I don't know what it is in us. We talked before about being sort of hopelessly religious or incurably religious. Somehow in our spiritual walk, oftentimes we somehow forget that, begin to think that we, at least, maybe it's not conscious, but kind of act like we're better than the guy, that's out on the street, like you're saying. And the reality is, we might be, have a little cleaner clothes and, maybe a few bucks in the bank or whatever, but the core issues are the same. I mean, and we have this kind of expression that we use at Highline, we're all bozos on this bus, and that's the reality. We're trying not to take ourselves so seriously, because the reality is that the true church is the only club in the world that you can only join by admitting you're a failure. Yes. And somehow, I don't know how we lose that, but it's great that God worked in your life to give you an appreciation for that. And I think all of us, I'm hoping every day that more and more it's, I understand grace better.
So this is You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. Co-host is Bob Belts, and our guest today is David Warren from Open Door Fellowship. So where's the scripture that says we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world? Come on, David. I'm asking you a question.
Yeah,
David.
In the world, but not of.
You know,
the world.
Brain just goes blank when you when you ask.
It's
that
in there
question.
Somewhere, but
yeah, it's somewhere it says somewhere, somewhere yeah, it says that we should be in the world, but not of the world. You quoted it perfectly, but I'm spacing the text. So.
That's all right. Anyway. Sorry to put you on the spot.
That's all right.
What about you, Clib? You sitting over here with no shoes? Way to go, Mark.
I think Paul.
One
said
thing
it,
we yeah. ask you to do here. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Mark Clibby helps with this program every week, and we thank you, Mark. But what's interesting about that is when you say yes to Christ and become a Christian, you are supposed to be separate from the things that the Bible discusses as of the world, but you're not supposed to be isolated. So one reason this program exists is kind of what you're saying you're doing with your life, is that we want everybody to know there's nothing special about us other than we did at some point listen when somebody explained the third chapter of John to us. We became Christians, and now we're just trying to share that with others. So in our focus on being separate but not isolated, that means we're supposed to be touching up against this world. We're trying to reach with the truth that impacted us. So I've got an issue, though, with thinking that blue jeans and a T-shirt is any different than a coat and a tie, actually. You don't get points for either. And there's just as many people that are walking around looking sharp, driving Jaguars, wearing a coat and tie that are lost as there are people on the street. So I guess definitely. I'm glad that you're called where you are and others are called where they are. But I do think there's a wave right now that among Christians where people do think, I don't know, there's something more important or acceptable to just come as you are in terms of how you dress or where you're from. I think that's an important message, but I also think it's an important message to up and outers that, hey, there's nothing wrong with you going for it and being the most successful you can be.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and one thing unique about Open Door is we get to see both sides because we work with the people that are the poorest of the poor on the streets or just out of the gutter, out of detox or what have you. And then we get to work with the folks on the other side who are, very successful in their businesses, and a lot of them want to give back to the ministry that we're doing. So we get to see both sides, and it's awesome. You know, a lot of times they get along great with each other after they get a little, get introduced and get over maybe a few nerves, and all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, I get along great with that person,
People are just people.
People are people, and they're, it's really a heart thing. God looks on the inside. Man looks on the outside. God looks on the heart.
And I like, too, the notion that none of these people to us are projects. Nobody listening to the show is a project to us. In fact, your eternal salvation is not our responsibility. That's why we try to come across the way we do, not to make light of Christ or the Scripture, but almost to make light of ourselves to the point of saying, hey, it's not our job. We love you. We take you right where you are and hope something we say helps. What are you doing over there, Bob?
I'm trying to find the text because I think it's in 1 John, but Jesus in his prayer in John chapter 17, as he's praying, prays for us, that and he prays, not that you take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. And then he says, they're not of the world, just as I'm not of the world. So in the world, but not of the world kind of is a, at the heart of who we are, what who's really on the throne of our lives? Is it Christ or is it ego? Are we, taking on too much local color, as you used to say? Is there anything different in our lives than people around us? So so that's what I was doing, but I was trying to find it.
Clip just handed me a scripture that says, blessed is the man who expecteth little, for he shall not be disappointed. That's really good, Mark. Are you just making these up as you go here? Way to go. So tell us what you do. What's a regular day look like for you, Dave?
Oh, man. There is no regular day, but, one thing that I really enjoy doing that we do from time to time is get with a group of guys and call Fill in the Void. We go downtown on the 16th Street Mall, and we pass out lunches during the lunch hour, from like 12 to 12:45, meet at the Arby's at 16th and California, and we'll take 20 sack lunches or so and walk both directions on the mall and find somebody that looks like they might be in need, go up, ask them if they'd like a lunch, and they most of the time do. And
they accept it and they're glad you're there with it?
Oh, yeah. Most of them are very glad we're there. And sometimes they're like, oh, I didn't know what I was going to do for lunch today, and you guys are an answer to prayer. And And then we usually ask them if we can pray with them. We like to pray for people, and is there anything that we could pray for you today about? And it's amazing. People share their prayer requests with us, and we, put an arm around them, pray right there, and then we move on down the street and find someone else. And we're just trying to be an encouragement. And if we have a way that we might be able to help through some transitional housing or something like that, we'll give them some information about that. It's kind of up to them to follow up at that point. But that's something that I've been doing for a couple of years now.
Ever feel scared or like you're in a dangerous situation?
Not really. I mean, it's from noon to one, broad daylight on 16th Street Mall with hundreds of people around. So I've never been in a situation where I felt scared. I'm sure if it were 9 o'clock at night in the middle of December, you know, three or four other people on the street.
That about would 2 miles east of there.
That would be completely different.
Really? So what's the configuration of the staff there now? We know Andy Cannon, and he's a friend, and Jeff Johnson, but I know you got a lot of great leaders.
Yeah, Jeff is with Mile High Ministries and a little distance from us, but we've got about 40-some staff members now at Open Door Ministries and Open Door Fellowship, and God's really blessed us. You know, the ministries kind of break down pretty easily into three sections. That we've got the housing programs that we run, the transitional housing. Most of them are 2-year programs, so we realize that it takes a little longer for people. You know, 90 days is just not enough time to restructure their entire life when you've been building bad habits for 20, 30, 40 years. And so we've got the housing programs, and then we've got the children's and youth ministries. We start with kids 3 years old through high school, do after-school programs and child care center. And then we have the outreach programs where we go out on the streets and we work with street kids and work with disabled folks. And so they kind of break down into those three areas. And then, of course, we have the church that we fellowship on Sundays and kind of helps hold it all together.
So did you ever dream this would be where God planted you?
No, not growing up, not as a young person, not until I got to college. Although I did read a great book, The Cross and the Switchblade, as a middle schooler. And I know David Wilkerson passed away recently.
He did?
Yes, I did know.
I missed that. I like David Wilkerson. He's a little crazy, wasn't he?
He was a lot crazy. You read that book, and boy, it blew me away. Just he'd go into Brooklyn and the gangs and lead these guys to Christ and then help them get off drugs, cold turkey, and all that. And I mean, I was definitely inspired. I didn't get a call to inner city ministry at that point, but I remember that book vividly. You know, here it is 30 years later since I read it.
So. Yeah, I met him one time at Boulder to Crusade. He was a pretty powerful, fired up speaker and really focused on kids, didn't he?
Yeah, teenagers, youth. Gang members.
Well, we're glad you're doing what you're doing, and we're
thank you.
Thankful you're doing it in our city, and we appreciate you being out there on the streets day in, day out. What can we ask our listeners to do to participate with you?
Well, we always have opportunities to get involved. Of course, we got the website there, which is probably the easiest way just to check things out, odmdenver.org, and we've got opportunities for sometimes people from their companies like to come down in a group and come down and serve a meal or get involved in a project, paint a room or refurbish someplace in one of our transitional housing programs. I've had a number of companies do that, a number of church groups as well. And then we also have a golf tournament coming up on July 14th, Thursday, July 14th. And love to have people who like to play golf come out and participate in that.
It's like there's a Christian golf circuit in Denver. Every Monday, the rest of your summer and fall, you can get in a tournament. So,
well, it's a good way to have some fun and support some great ministries too. So
it really is. You're donating, but you're getting something back in terms of a good day of golf and a lot of fun. Where's your tournament again?
It's at Raccoon Creek in Littleton.
Whew, boy, Clib and I just spent the windiest day out there. I looked like Robert Redford when the day started and Don Knotts when it was over. My hair completely blew out. So we'll be praying you up. And
thank you.
We want to say to you listeners that sometimes from the suburbs, the easiest thing to do is just write a check to support these ministries like Open Door. But it's more of a blessing to you if you'll get involved and get to know these people, go to church there, see what the people in the city are doing, because it's just a different... It's a different look than what we feel every day in South Denver. So I thank God for training you, giving you the background you have. 40-man staff, that's incredible. So the scripture that says when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me, applies here. I think it's great you're out, instead of cramming the gospel down somebody's throat, you're serving them lunch. That's what it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we like to do.
So you got clothing in there too, and any?
We don't do a lot of clothing just because, It's just not our thing. But when people come into the houses and they live there, we make sure they get clothing. And getting people clothing, we can get that done.
Well, that's pretty amazing. A holistic approach there, isn't it, Bob?
It's great. It's great.
What do you got at Highline this morning?
Well, it's going to be a great morning starting at 10 o'clock. And by the way, we have a kind of a neat relationship with you. I think Todd Taylor's got a real connect to Highline Community Church. And I know a lot of our people are real supportive of Open Doors. But 10 o'clock and there on 6325 South University across the parking lot from Goodson Rec Center. And you're all welcome. We'd love to have you. And again, I'm glad that we can be a part of what's going on in the city, too.
So we thank our guest, David Warren. Bless you, friend.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening and letting us know that you're listening. We do this program, like I say, for you. We just want to expose you to great people like David Warren, great ministries like Open Door Ministries, and mostly the person of Jesus Christ is presented in the gospel. According to John, it's, as Bob said, a relationship that's available to you. Why wouldn't we all sign up for that? Seems pretty easy, Bob.
It's the greatest thing in the world, Bob.
So add some purpose, meaning to your life, get fired up, do better, do more. And we'll see you right here next week on KOA.